Greetings, everybody. This is Josh with Fish Porn Podcast, and I'm here with Jeff. Say hi, Jeff.
Hey, everybody. It's Jeff with the Fish Porn Podcast. Dude, you sound like Buffery. What is going on there? Are you you getting a little crazy, a little post-Thanksgiving crazy?
Yeah, I'm still on my turkey high.
Excellent.
Way too much.
So you survived?
I survived. Sounds like you sort of did.
Yeah.
So,
I'm drinking plenty of alcohol to kill off the germs that have taken over my body. Hold on. You know, I'm going to use my internet fame right now to call out the schmuck that sat behind me on that JetBlue plane. Dude behind me from Boston to Seattle, I hate you. I hope you are sick for the next 3 months because you sneezing on the back of my head really sucked. So, okay, now I'm done. Sorry, Josh. I just had no, to get that out there.
No, that's perfectly fine.
All right.
But tonight we should have a pretty good episode. We get to talk with Jen from Dunn Magazine.
Are we going to do a real episode tonight?
We are. We're going to do a real live episode. This will be episode number 6.
Wow.
Not 5 3/4 or 5 1/2.
Oh.
Again. Dude, are going to be a full-fledged 6.
I just realized, though, when you said 3/4, that when we get to, if we ever make it to episode 9, that we should do 9 3/4. We should have like a Harry Potter themed podcast.
But I can cast spells. Bippity boppity boop.
Ooh.
Oh, sorry. Wrong movie.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, back to episode 6. Wow. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Yeah. Almost to double digit episodes.
Oh boy. That's scary. Thanks, 7 listeners.
Yeah.
Thanks for making
it. But we also have to thank our sponsors who have got us to episode 6.
Right. And speaking of that, they did not get their, we did not get a chance to express our gratitude because we got cut off in the last one. So let's do it. Let's send some love.
All right. First sponsor we like to thank would be the Pig Farm Inc. crew. That's Pig Farm Inc. INK.com. And you can check them out. Check out what's going on in their world. We are thankful that they are hooking us up.
Bitchin'.
Sponsor number 2 is Woodard Rod Company. Go experience your next river with a Woodard, and you can check them out at woodardrodco.com.
Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you. Thanks,
Pig Farm. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Pig Farm Inc. crew. Thanks, Ben and Woodard Rod Co. All right, I think it's time to
grab a beer.
I think we made it through the sponsor section, so I'm gonna hydrate again. Let me down this one and grab another one. I'm sure you got something tasty to work on there.
And yeah, we'll come back and we will get Jen on the line.
Yeah. So Jen from Dunn Magazine. Wow. It's finally happening.
It is finally.
All right, cool. All right, everybody. Fish Porn Podcast number 6. This is our break time. Go grab a beer. See you in a minute. It's Jeff. Who else is on the line?
It's Josh.
Hey, Josh, who do we have joining us tonight? I think we have a special guest.
Yeah, we do. We have Jen with Dunn Magazine.
Oh, awesome.
And if you guys have never checked this magazine out, you need to. Guys and girls, it is a woman's fly fishing magazine. Very awesome. I'm actually a digital subscriber. I haven't broke down and got the print yet because I'm lazy, but that's coming. Maybe a Christmas present for the wife that she doesn't know about. But there, Jen, tell us a little bit about the magazine.
Yeah, so I have to correct you a little bit. It's not a woman's magazine. It's a fly fishing magazine, but all of our authors are women. And I say all, but basically it's like we've had two male authors, but the vast majority of our authors are women, and that's the way we keep it. So it is geared towards the female angler, but if we publish a piece on fishing for yellow permit in Oman, that is an article that men like just as well as women like. And so it's international. We're in print. We're in Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all those big box stores, now fly shops and that kind of stuff. And it's really taken off, and we're really super excited about it because when I started the first digital magazine 4 years ago, one of the guys that was in the fly fishing arena industry that I really appreciate and respect, he said to me, "That's great. You're going to have one magazine, and it's going to be great. But you'll never have another one because there aren't enough women out there who fly fish." And, you know, when he said that, I never even thought twice about it. It rolled off me like water off a duck's back because I knew he was wrong. And so it's been kind of fun to prove, you know, him wrong in big ways.
Heck yeah, that sounds like a challenge more than anything. So
That's right. I'm up for it.
So I got to tell you, I just saw the magazine, the print edition. I saw it at Dave McCoy's shop in West Seattle the other day. And that was pretty cool to go in there and see it sitting there right next to the Drake and right next to Flyfish Journal. And there was your magazine on the top shelf. So very cool. And congratulations on getting that to print.
Thank you.
So
a little backstory, Jeff. Back in September, I was supposed to be in Florida, you know, fly fishing the canals for peacocks and chasing snook on the beach. But, you know, that crazy storm Irma had other plans for me. And so I was like, where in the world can we go that it was within driving distance and could get away for a long weekend? And so I was like, hey, let's go to Nashville for our anniversary instead of anywhere. And I happened to know Jen was over there. And, of course, you know, right down the road is Calf Killer, which we love so much.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent her a message and tagged her in an Instagram post and said, hey, what's going on? And she said, hey, we're showing some videos on Saturday night. Come check it out. And I'll tell you what, Jen is an awesome person and put on a really cool event. And that movie Costa did, Slam, that was awesome. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm jealous of these women getting to go fish for the Slam down in Florida because I still haven't made it to Florida to fish because every time I try to go, something happens.
Nice.
Yeah, well, you know, it was really fun because I think, like, a lot of times, you know, I know a lot of, I know, in quotes, a lot of people, you know, through social media, and I feel like they're my friends, and I follow what they do, and they follow what I do, and so I feel like I know them, but to actually put your face with an actual person was really fun, and to make your life was really great, so I was excited to, you know, have you come, and it was a really great idea, you know, a great event. They, of course, they did do a really great job with that video in Fly South, you know, my local fly shop here in Nashville. You know, it's been very gracious in wanting to get women in the sport. So, you know, them hosting it was a really cool thing for us.
That's a really cool store.
Fly South was awesome.
That seems like a great venue, and it would target a large area. So I'm guessing you.
And I was going to say, how many fly shops do you know that actually have a theater in the back?
Yeah, one with velvet suits and everything. I think
exactly.
I know of. Yeah. It's pretty badass.
Well, speaking of social media and everybody, Jen, there was some heat going on today, if memory serves. I think Gink and Gasoline was fueling the fire, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's been a lot going on, right? And it's like, since I started the magazine, it's been the same old thing over and over and over. You know, are women who fish in bikinis, are they legitimate anglers? I don't know. Is a guy who fishes in shorts and no top a legitimate angler if he catches a giant fish? Yeah, he probably is. But for some reason, women aren't. You know, I walk a very fine line with this whole debate. And, you know, I have feelings on both sides. Am I a woman who when it's 110 degrees outside, fishes in a bikini sometimes. Yeah, you know what I do. And if I catch a fish, I'm not going to dress myself for the sake of the fish in order to take a picture. You know, most of the times I'm probably just going to let it go and not worry about the picture. But, you know, it, does that make me not a legitimate angler because I happen to be wearing a bikini top when I caught a fish? No. But that being said, I understand, you know, both sides of the coin. So, for instance, Southern Culture on the Fly, you know, they did that article about, you know, where David was dressed in bikinis, which was, you know, just hysterical, classic David Grossman, right? And, you know, when you can't fault him for that. And he makes legitimate points about how, you know, a lot of times, like, for instance, there are women who are on my staff, for example, who have been guides for years and years and years, but because they don't look like the quintessential Barbie doll out there, you know, on the water, they find it very difficult to find, you know, maybe pro deals and stuff like that. I think that's completely unfair because these are women that actually, you know, are hardcore anglers who are out there every day in the trenches and they get no props, whereas someone else might come in who does look like the Barbie doll and who's been fishing for 2 weeks and who, because she looks good in waders, you know, will get free gear all the time. You know, that's, unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast. Unfortunately, sex sells, right? And so, you know, we walk a fine line as men and as women when we talk about this point. For me, I see both sides of the coin. I guess what I say is, who am I to judge a woman who's out there? How can I tell what her motive was? Was her motive when she put on her bikini to actually catch a fish and get 1,000 likes on Instagram? I don't know. Unless you're that woman, you don't know. You can't judge that. I don't judge that. I have, in the past, published articles by a woman who I think is one of the best anglers in the world, Claire Cargo King. She owns Arabian Fly Fishing in Oman, and she has been fishing since she was 3 years old, basically fly fishing all over the world with her dad, and actually met her now husband. She was a guide in the Seychelles, and they started Arabian Fly Fishing in Oman. She catches giant, you know, trevally. She catches yellow permit. She catches, you name it, she catches it. Well, she's in my first edition, my first print edition, and guess what? She's wearing a bikini top. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Say it isn't so. Does that mean that she's not a legitimate angler? I would put my money on Claire any day up against any man to catch those same fish, you know? And somehow, if her husband is wearing just swim trunks and catches the fish, no one thinks twice or looks at him sideways about that. But people will judge Claire based on the fact that she has a bikini on and she wears a bikini all the time. It's not like she's just saying, hey, I'm going to put a bikini on. I'll take my shirt off so that I can take a picture and get, you know. Well, that's one whole side of the coin, right? The other side, you've got me on my hobby horse. The other side are the women who do the fish bras, right? And that kind of stuff. Or, you know, are photographed in the G-string, you know, holding a fish that maybe they didn't catch. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but you know, I'm not there to judge their motive either. You know, I guess what I say to people who want to judge a woman on their Instagram feed who's wearing a bikini and carrying a fish is, guess what? She didn't beg you to follow her. You can unfollow her. You don't have to look at that. If that's your weakness, don't do it if you don't like it. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's a whole can of worms. It could go either way, and I see both sides. But I try to walk the middle ground knowing that, you know, what a woman wears in a photograph has nothing to do with the fish that she's holding unless she's wearing nothing like a fish bra.
But I think you nailed that or hit the nail on the head with the comment that it's social media and all you have to do is hit the unfollow button. And,
yeah,
you know, because it's over and over and over people get offended because you posted something or, you know, she's just wearing a bikini and, you know, she's got this giant fish. And if you don't like it, you can hit unfollow.
Yeah. You know, or like, for instance, today on the Ginking Gasoline thing where it was Paul talking about how a woman put up a picture of a beautiful trout and a guy on there said, well, I want to see the video of you hooking the fish and fighting the fish and landing the fish, or whatever he said, and you know, something like that. And it's like, really, you want to see that just to know she's legitimate? That's ridiculous. I mean, that's just going too far. He would never say that to a guy out there. Oh, let me see. I want to see when you, you know, that you hooked that and you fought that. What if he had to do that on everything? That would be ridiculous. You know, if a woman said to him, oh, I don't think that that's legitimate that you caught that fish. You know, to be real honest, I know guys who have not caught fish but have held someone else's fish and taken a picture with it as well. You know, do I do that myself? Absolutely, I don't. Do I condone that? Absolutely, I do not. You know, we at the magazine, we like the story of the everyday angler who goes out there on her own and she catches a fish or you know, a whole bunch of fish or no fish at all and tells her story. To us, that's empowering because it's not about, you know, how many fish you catch or what size fish it is. It's about the experience. And, you know, I guess, you know, what gets me is that somehow the whole thing about, you know, when you go to ICAST or the IFTD, the shows, the big fishing shows in Florida, and you see the dichotomy between the conventional side and the fly fishing side, you know, I mean, like, for goodness sake, the Pelagic booth had women in G-strings all week long at ICAST, okay, on the conventional side. Somehow that's okay, and that's not a big deal, but on the fly fishing side, you know, unless you're buttoned up like Little House on the Prairie, you're not legitimate. Like, it's so ridiculous, the two sides. And for me, I just look at it and I'm like, guys, you know, gals, this is fishing. It's supposed to be fun. Let's get off of our high horses in fly fishing and just go out and be happy that you're out, the people are on the water. You know, whatever gets them to the water, whatever gets them to pick up a fly rod, that makes me happy. If you want to do it in a bikini, more power to you. I hope you look good.
Well, you probably don't want to see me in a bikini, but I have been known to just fish in shorts.
No one wants to see gross men there.
I know. That's an image I just can't get out of my head.
Yeah, none of us can unsee that. So
that's right.
You know, all this talk of social media and everybody posing in whatever they're wearing, it makes me wonder why people are fishing. Are they only out there so they can put a picture on Instagram? Or are they out there just because they want to fish? You know, does the world really revolve that much around social media?
I would hope it doesn't. You know, I mean, of course, there are some out there that will do just that. Or there are the women out there that are legitimate anglers, but who have a photographer boyfriend, and they take beautiful pictures, and they get a lot of likes, you know, or whatever. There are a whole bunch of things. But I think we're missing the point if all we're doing is stalking people on social media and being so concerned with their life and the photos that they're putting up all the time that we forget what it's really about. It's about conserving the water, conserving the fishery, you know, doing no harm. It's about furthering the sport we love. It's about teaching our children. It's about giving back. You know, why are we so caught up in what's really not important? I guess that's the big question, and that's what we try to answer in the magazine. You know, let's put the everything in perspective. And it's funny, you know, so I have a company that owns a couple different magazines. And one of the magazines is Midwest-based, and it is almost, I would say, 99.9% male authors. And then I have Dove Magazine, which is all female authors. And I always say the difference between the two author groups is so vastly different. It's like black and white. And I kind of explain it this way. Let's say you have a baby, and I say to you, oh, my God, your baby is so cute, and look at all the hair she has, and oh, how big was she? Okay, those are my female authors of Dove. Now, let's contrast that with the male authors of the other magazines. It's like you have a baby, and I say to you, my baby is bigger than your baby. My baby is more bigger than your baby. I mean, those are the male authors, and I feel like some of that is being thrown at the women who are just out there wanting to have a good time or whatever, you know? And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's just like that guy at Cabela's, you know, who said to me, I don't care if women fish. I just don't want them on my rivers. You know, I don't know. But I think that still, all that being said, that is the focal less than 1% minority. And I think what would help the whole situation is by doing exactly what Paul did at Ginkin Gasoline, calling him out on the carpet and saying, this is ridiculous. Would you ask your friend to take a video of him catching a fish he's just put up on social media? You don't like what she's putting up there? You don't think she's legitimate? Unfollow her. You don't have to make an ass of yourself.
Yeah. And that's essentially what they're doing. And I think one of the funniest things in that article that he brought, you know, R.L. Winston fly rods are really nice quality rods. And since 2008, McLean has been one of the designers for all the rods. And what? A woman designed all the fly rods? It can't be because it's a male sport. But
exactly. And that's what, you know, when I was first starting out and I was looking at a fly rod company to actually become a pro at, I went with Winston because of Annette McLean, because I thought a fly rod company that could see the value of a woman engineer who was making rods for the last 20, I think she's been doing it since 2000, actually, you know, and it's like, and so anyone who could actually see that kind, put a woman in that position and think that's cool, I could get behind that. You know, but people forget, when I first came into fly fishing, I thought women were new to the sport, and so I felt uncomfortable going into a fly shop, or I felt uncomfortable being on the river, right, like I didn't belong. So I started doing this exhaustive study on the history of women in fly fishing, and I realized, wait a second, the first book was written by a woman in 1497? Are you kidding me? And then, what, the way we tie our streamers with the materials on a horizontal plane, that was done by a woman, really? The fly tying capital of the world, Stevens Point, was because of a woman? Oh my God, really? So I guess I do have a foundation to stand on. I guess I do belong in a fly shop. I guess I do belong in a river, you know? So it might be that there are more men in the sport now, and maybe that's because women were sent home to take care of the kids and got out of doing that. But since the early days, women had to provide for their families, and they were out there fishing and catching fish, right? It wasn't unusual to see a woman out there hunting and fishing and gathering, you know, until recent years. So it's mind-boggling when you actually think about, you know, the bait and switch for billfish was devised by a woman. I mean, there's just, you know, it astounds me. The more that I studied it, the more I learned about it, the more I was like, what is all this hubbub about women, you know, being new to the sport or not belonging or it being a male-dominated sport? There might be more men in the sport, but that doesn't mean it's male-dominated.
No.
Interestingly enough, in our... Josh, I want to say it was our third episode. We talked a lot about Kerry Stevens.
Yeah, I think it was our third episode.
Kerry Stevens was, you know, I live in southern Maine, so the Upper Dam is not that far of a stretch. And, you know, we spent a good part of that episode chatting about her and her contributions to streamer patterns that we use to this day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, right?
But it's amazing how many people don't know who she is or who she was.
Yes, exactly. Or that Mary Orvis Marbury, Orvis is what it is today. It wasn't because of her two brothers who were involved in the business. It was because of Mary's contributions, of recognizing that people on the East Coast were calling one fly, you know, a fly by one name, and the people on the West Coast were calling it by another name. And she basically organized, talked to everybody that she knew, you know, in the field, everywhere, and said, what do you call this fly? What do you call this fly? And then made those color palettes so that when you ordered, I don't know, a Royal Wolf, it looked the same regardless of where you ordered it from, right? I mean, made Orvis what it is.
And that's the thing. Women are so detail-oriented. Guys were like, let's just do it and just get it over with. And, you know, the women behind the scenes are going, no, it doesn't work this way. Because my wife's that same way. No, you have to be organized here. You can't just go, I'll wing it.
Yeah, and I'm not, and obviously men have made huge strides in fly fishing as well, just like women have. But to just kind of, you know, delegitimize everything that a woman has done, or think that today a woman can stand in a river in a tank top or in a bikini and, you know, not be legitimate, even though she's caught that fish, is just beyond me, you know. Like I said, I understand both sides of it. I understand what Grossman is saying, and it's absolutely legitimate. You know, I don't want those women out there who just have their boyfriend catch a fish and then hold it so that they can take a picture and get some Instagram likes. That does no one any good. you know, especially women in the field.
All right. Well, hey, can we shift gears and talk about actually fishing in the field, Jen? Can you tell us
sure.
what you've been up to? I heard rumors that you were on some new water today.
Yeah, so today we actually floated the Duck River, which is in Tennessee, not far from where I live now, maybe about an hour away, kind of like between Dover and Nashville area. And it's supposed to be, now I can't legitimately say this myself because I didn't catch all of these fish today, but it's supposed to be the river with the most species of fish in the nation.
Really?
So I can't, like I said, I can't say that that's true because I only caught one smallmouth today. But it was really cold temperatures, and I think they were just hiding. But yeah, beautiful, beautiful river. But then on top of that, I did fish. I had the opportunity to fish. Fortunately, I fish all over the place, right? And I can't complain about my life and my fishing experiences. But I got back from Cuba not long ago, and that was interesting, and looking forward to going back to Belize soon. So,
well, maybe we can get you to get a team of women anglers and join Jeff and I for the next Hardly Strictly Musky over there.
Yeah.
Tennis over there in what, McMinnville?
Yeah,
we'll just have a big party, because that's pretty much what Jeff and I did. We just drank the whole time and kind of fished.
For sure.
Because
in fact, I have three women on my staff that are big musky fishermen. So yes, let's just plan on that.
Because by the end of the tournament, Jeff and I just pretty much called it hardly any musky, and so we found the brewery of Cat Killer and just spent most of our time there.
Oh my gosh!
Drinking away our sorrows.
Tell us when it is. Yeah, tell us what it is and when it is. For sure we are. Yeah, and you know it. And you guys, you should come up and fish Kentucky Lake with us. I mean, this place, if you like bass fishing or chain pickerel, which we call pike, basically, up in the Midwest. And gar fishing. I mean, the fishing here has just been so much fun. And nobody fishes with a fly rod. So, I mean, these fish, except if I've thrown them at them or my staff has, they do not see a fly, so they love it.
I'm looking for some place to go for my birthday, so I may have to plan a trip way.
Come on up. Get the boats.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So what else have you guys been doing with the magazine? Anything fun, anything cool coming up that you can hint us to?
Well, the exciting thing for us is, you know, the print magazine, which we did two editions of last year in 2017, and so we're doing four in 2018, and we're taking that international, so we're an international distributor. So we will be sold internationally soon. You know, as far as the magazine goes, we are just working on a lot of other projects as well. We have a couple different magazines that are coming out. One is an Upland Woman's Hunting magazine, which is going to be beautiful, magazine like done, but for upland hunting. And then we have a magazine coming out that is a craft lifestyle magazine. It involves fly fishing, but it's more about getting to the river than it is the actual grip and grins and the fish that we catch at the river. So those are really exciting endeavors that we're doing at the moment, that we're excited about coming out in 2018 with a bigger edition of, you know, done as well. So,
well, very cool. We'll have to look forward to seeing those on the shelves.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, for sure.
While we're on that topic, Jen, can you tell our listeners just the basics, how to find you on the interwebs? Just, you know, I know you already covered where you can find the magazine in print at some of the big box stores, but how can they find you on the digital realm?
Yeah, sure. You can just go to Dunn Magazine. Dunn is D-U-N, like the mayfly. It is not misspelled. I always kind of have to chuckle when people come up to me and they've been fly anglers for many, many, many years, and they're like, "What does Dunn mean?" And they're like, "Really?" Oh, that would be the mayfly, you know. Like, okay, the most influential bugs in fly fishing. I'm not a big trout fisherman, but I have fished enough of trout to know that, you know, lifestyle of a mayfly. Yeah, so you can find it at Dunn Magazine, dunmagazine.com, or you can go to getdunmag.com. If you Google Dunn Magazine, you can get that. If you want to send me an email, love mail, hate mail, whatever, you can get me at jenatdunmagazine.com. I love to answer emails, and I answer every single email that ever comes in. So, you know, by all means, we would love to hear from you if you like it, if you don't like it, things that you'd like to see, things that you don't like to see. For example, our first magazine came out with a physical therapy, kind of like, you know, giving yourself self-stability for wading in the water. And then a woman wrote in and said, I'd really like to see some an article on, you know, strengthening your shoulder, protecting your shoulder for, you know, casting. And so in our second edition, there it is, maintaining a healthy casting shoulder, you know. So we do listen to what our readers say and, you know, try to provide what our audience wants.
That's great. Before we have to let you go, I was wondering if you, here, I'm just going to put you right on the spot, Jen. I was wondering if you can tell us what woman had the most influence on who you are as an angler. Is there any lady out there that just really, I don't know, that made it happen for you?
Huh. You know, I guess I would have to say that it's not just one particular woman, but the way that Dunn was started was I was writing for a fly fishing magazine and writing a woman's column, and then really wanted to write for a woman's magazine, and there wasn't one, so I created one. And so I think the women that were the most instrumental to me in my whole career here are the women that were in our first edition, because I reached out to them being a nobody and said, hey, would you write for this unknown, ridiculous idea that I have of starting a woman's magazine? And people like Annette McLean wrote for our first magazine. You know, there were women from New Zealand that wrote for our first magazine. April Volke has been a very big supporter. And, you know, it's women, you know, I could say Joan Wolfe, right? She's obviously an amazing woman. I have never met her, though, you know. So for me, it wasn't the people that I've read about in history books. It was the people who, you know, like Pudge Kleinkopf. I guess if I had to pick one woman, she would be the woman. Pudge up in Alaska, you know, when I reached out to her and she wrote an article for us in our first magazine, she said to me, you know, I will do anything you need me to do to get this out there. You know, and she's been a guide in Alaska for 30 years, and it was just kindness. And, you know, and that's what I find with women in the sport. They're so eager and happy to support other women. And so it would be the women of my first magazine and all of the authors that have come after that, all of our supporters that have come after that, that inspire me on an everyday basis. Because, you know, we're a small company by all, you know, company standards. And it takes, you know, I hate to use this, but it takes a fly shop, basically, right, instead of a village. It takes all of us on the river to come together and say this is something that's important and we're behind it. And so I give kudos every day to the women that are in this sport, you know, that have come along and supported us. Those are my heroes.
All right. Somebody you might know was a big influence on me. Her name's Gnome. I call her Nomi. And yeah, if you've run into her, then you know that she's pretty hardcore about the sport. And when I first got going,
yep,
she was and continues to be a mentor. I ran into her a few months ago. Mm-hmm. We live in the same area code, and we never get to hang out. But that girl, oh my goodness, she can fish. She can tie better mm-hmm. than anybody I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, without her, I wouldn't own a fly rod. I wouldn't even talk about it because of her influence. I can't say enough. So,
yeah, I love that girl. Obviously, you know, she's on staff with us, has been for years. And I think she's one of the most creative women that I know. She wrote an article, which is one of my favorite articles ever. And it was on thinking outside the box. It was on using milkweed as dubbing material on your flies.
I actually
and
have
I, like, who does that?
I have a package of it from her in my tying supplies. So
I love it.
Okay. So I could sit here all night and sing her praises, but she blows my mind, and I'm hopefully gonna run into her next week. And anyhow,
well, give her a big squeeze for me.
All right,
I don't get to see her as much as I'd like to. Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah, I have a very, very talented staff of women, and I'm very fortunate for them, and Noam is one of them.
All right. Cool. So what do you think, Josh? You got any more questions for Jen?
No, I was just going to say that, you know, as a dad with daughters and a wife, that I'm, you know, just getting her into fly fishing, and I can drag my daughters away from their phones for a little bit to fish. You know, it's, to me, it's refreshing to see the amount of women doing this. And, you know, there are the girly girl, because I have a tomboy and I have a girly girl daughter, and, you know, and I have a girly girl wife, and, you know, to have that, see all these women in the industry, you know, that are the girly girls, and, you know, being able to, you know, out tie me, and, you know, outfish me and everything, and meeting these and talking to them, and they're just outstanding. And, you know, I can be like, hey, girls, check this person out. And they're like, oh, well, that's cool. And, you know, it's a, to me, it's a treat to have, you know, someone they can look up to besides, you know, a musician or an artist of some sort, or someone who puts on makeup on YouTube videos, because that I don't understand.
Oh, come on, the Kardashians. You gotta look up that kind of stuff.
But you know, it's refreshing to me as a parent that, you know, there's these women that I can be like, hey, we're gonna go fishing. Hey, why don't you check this out and check this out and check this out? I probably drive them crazy because it's my job as a parent to drive them crazy. But I just think it's an awesome thing, and you know, I'm hoping to take my wife fishing this weekend, get her out in the trout water, and she'll probably outfish me like she always does. But that's
well, good. More, I hope she does.
It's more fun for me anyway. So,
dad, kudos to you as a dad for taking your daughters out there. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, my dad, my grandfather was an angler. I grew up in a lake. You know, my dad never thought to take me fishing, ever. You know, I mean, it just wasn't one of those things. My brother all the time, but not me. And so. Kudos to you for doing that. I think that's where it starts right there. In fact, in our last edition, we have a girl who is a young girl who's already caught a grand slam, you know, and I think she's 11 or she might have just turned 12. I mean, it, you know, I talked to her on the phone and I thought, how amazing is it? And I said to her dad, well, you know, because I'm always leery when I hear that kind of stuff. Oh, why? The dad's pushing the kids to do this. And he's like, and she even said herself, no, you know, my dad, he didn't even want to fish for tarpon. I was the one that was like, okay, Dad, you have to fish for tarpon. We've got to go again. I really want to go, you know. And so, I mean, there's a lot of role models out there for your daughters.
Yep.
And a lot of role models out there for your wife as well. And I think that it starts at home, and you are the biggest one.
And I have two hot pink fly rods hanging on my wall. Because of that.
There you go. Something for everyone. You can love pink or hate pink, but you know, there are just some women who love it and some who hate it. It doesn't matter as long as you get them out on the river.
Yep. That's all that matters.
That's right. So.
Well, Jeff, you ready to wrap this?
Yeah, I suppose. Jen, I'm so glad you were able to join us. If you don't run away kicking and screaming, then hopefully we can do it again sometime in the future.
Yeah,
I guess I just had.
That. Thank you for having me.
Sure, I had one more question before I'm done asking you those questions. You know, it is this whole Christmas season coming up. Any good gear that you'd like to put on your wish list for anybody out there listening?
Wow, there's so many things. I guess, you know, for a really small thing, one of my favorite things right now is these copper tippet bangles. I wear them everywhere. And basically, they're bangles that have been made by a woman who does metalsmith work. And your tippet fits on them, and then that little rubber band that goes normally on your tippet thing, on your tippet thing, you can stick that on top of it, and you can wear them all the time. I always have 4X and 5X with me, no matter where I go. I love those things. They're super cheap. They're like $12 a piece or something at on the Etsy shop, like Full Moon something, Full Moon Metals or something like that. That's one of my favorite things. I'll tell you, I am in love with the new shoe that they call the Astral shoe. It's like a tennis shoe, but it's all mesh, so you can wear it in the water, and you get out of the water, and it dries right away. They're super light. Love those.
Yeah, and those are made. Those are made not too far from you in Asheville.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, they are really, really, really nice. I love, love, love them. And I will say that Orvis has a new woman's jacket coming out, a rain jacket, like a goth jacket. That's super, super cool. Honestly, I love their H3 fly rod, but there are so many fly rods out there on the market. I mean, so many great entry-level packages and higher-end rods. I mean, it's so easy getting into fly fishing these days. There's a brand called Cool that makes fabulous women's gear. I can go on and on, but it's just our last magazine to see all of our holidays. our things.
Cool.
Now,
anyway, super cheap.
Now, to back up just a little bit, you did get to just fish recently with the new H3 from Orvis. What's your thoughts on that rod?
I love that rod. So I fish all different kinds of rods. You name it, I have the rods to fish on, and I fish all different types of water. For years, I've used the 6-weight H2 because I thought the Orvis made the best 6-weight there was, and I love the H2. I had the privilege of fishing the H3 when I didn't know it was the H3 before it was out. It was just a prototype, and I loved it. I fished today with the 8D, which is their distance rod, and I just find it, it's going to be the perfect permit rod. Is it perfect for every situation? Probably not, but as far as permit or bigger fish, where you want to chuck a giant articulated streamer, that thing works like mad. I love it. Unfortunately, it's got a high price point, so it might not be for everybody, but if you can get out to your fly shop and at least cast it, you're going to love it. It's one that I would save my pennies for if I had to, so for sure.
All right.
Have
all
you
our
tried
seven
it?
Listeners. No, I have not yet, and it's on my list to go check out, so.
Yeah, do it. And you know what else is really great out there is the Sage Salt with the Flats Pro line. That is a killer combination as well. So cast those two together.
Yeah, I've got the 12-weight Sage for my salt water. Yeah, that thing casts so effortlessly. It's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. It's a beautiful rod. You know, like I said, so many out there. But really, I mean, if you're looking for some kind of Christmas gift for someone who's just getting into it, Orvis is like package that's like $250 or whatever for their, I don't know if it's the clear water, if that's what
it's
they call
the
it.
Clear water, yeah.
The clear water, yeah. And it's got the line, the reel, and the rod for like $249 or $250 or something like that. That's a killer rod. I mean, and if you, I would suggest if you want to get someone something like an entry level package, get that, peel that crappy line off of it and stick a better line on it, and you've got a rod that's going to last you forever, you know?
Yep. For sure. I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Well, thanks again for your input, Jen. We appreciate it.
And
anytime.
And I will be in touch for you on this Hardly Strictly fishing tournament.
Yeah! Yes, please do. I would love that.
Hey, guess what, everybody? We're back.
All right. Did you guys enjoy that?
That was cool. Jen is awesome. I hope she.
Yeah, Jen's
I hope she decides.
So much
to,
fun.
I hope she decides to come back on the show. I think we say that out loud, but I really mean it.
Yeah, I think she will.
Yeah,
she'll come back and have fun.
Yeah. So it was good to chat with her. And it was funny because I saw the magazine in a couple different places last week, and I was thinking that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I looked for it here at our Barnes & Noble, but it's not here anymore.
Yeah, sold out.
They must have not. Yeah, they must have not been either selling enough or they were sold out, but that's all right. I'll get it online.
Yeah, so you're a digital subscriber?
Yep, I am a digital subscriber, and I am going to get the print episodes.
So. I forgot to ask if it was the same thing or if it's like bonus. So we'll have to look it up. Maybe some listeners have seen both and would be able to let us know. Or Jen, I'm sure if you ever listen to yourself on a podcast, which believe me is a real treat, listening to yourself on a podcast, chime in on a comment, will you? And I totally flaked on asking you about that. So, and believe me, if you haven't heard yourself on a podcast before, again, real awesome treat. Oh,
so. Yeah, I hate the way I sound.
I think that's normal. So.
But hey, I'm going to talk and ramble anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Well, fortunately for our 7 listeners tonight, I don't feel like talking much more. So I have a feeling that unless, Josh, you want to carry the torch on this one, it's going to be a relatively short
I'm episode good.
Number 6. Ironic that 5.5 went for 6 years, and episode 6 is going to clock in, 7 minutes later. But anyways... I know that next week we're kicking around a few ideas. Our next episode we're in negotiations with the agent for Mr. Jake Keeler, who is responsible for some great fish art. If his agent can get back to my agent and they do lunch and they come up with some details, we might have him on next week. I'd really like to get Justin Karf involved. And we could have like a whole Minnesota themed show. But
sounds good.
Despite not knowing the status of our next guest, Josh, I think we were kicking around the idea of having like a Christmas wish list.
Yes, because we are in that season now.
Yeah, it will be December next week. So we might as well embrace this holiday nonsense. This Christmas pandemonium. Yeah,
our listeners probably need ideas for gifts. So,
yeah,
and you're always welcome to send us gifts.
Yeah, so. I don't know if we have anybody that's lighting the menorah for the holidays, but if we're neglecting your Hanukkah needs for the fly fishing Hanukkah environment, please get a hold of us, and we wanna have is it eight days and nights.
Eight crazy nights
of Hanukkah fly fishing. But if we don't hear from you, we're going to assume that you all are fans of the Christmas thing. Also, I guess if we have any Kwanzaa celebrators or Festivus or whatever other holidays go on coming up, we want to include you because, we're all about it here at Fishporn. We are equally offensive to all. So, that being said, we want to talk about the crap that we want for Christmas. I don't know, Josh, I'm going to write my list down this week and be ready.
I'm going to write my list too.
Okay, you cannot.
And I'm even going to check it twice.
Yeah, don't steal my list. So don't even think about peeking.
I won't. Okay. I promise.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that. We haven't beat you over the heads with our information because you already know it. We have not received any good messages on the hotline. I'm going to stop encouraging you, and maybe the reverse psychology will help. So nobody should call the hotline because it sucks. So don't call it and don't leave us a funny story. Definitely don't call it and talk about what you want for Christmas. Cause that shit will never show up on the podcast.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, don't do it. Don't go to Instagram and look up at FSHPRN. Don't do the same on Twitter. Actually, really don't do that on Twitter because it's not worth it. The Facebook page, probably also not worth your time. The website, you obviously know about it. Don't waste your time. Okay. Reverse psychology.
Hey, Hey, but did you see someone tagged us in those giant Icelandic monsters?
Yeah, I see that we get tagged in some weird stuff.
I don't know who you are, but those were awesome fish.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. I don't even know where to go.
I don't. Yeah, I know. I want to go to bed.
Yeah. So thank you, random Instagram people tagging us. You officially kick ass tonight, and we love you for it. Josh, I'm going to go curl up and sleep off the rest of this influenza epidemic. I think I have the bird flu. I
hope you get to feeling better.
Yeah, man, thanks. You know what? In the meantime, I might take your turkey fly that you posted on the Instagram and use that as a challenge. And I might tie up a Christmas tree fly.
All right.
I hate spinning deer hair, but I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to spray paint it green. Because I don't think I have any green deer hair.
Hey, if not, I've got some.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. I think I'm going to have to resort.
Maybe we need to get one of our listeners to tie up a Christmas tree fly and tag us in it.
That'd be cool. Maybe if somebody does that, I'll send them something.
Yeah, we'll send them something cool.
We'll come up. We're gonna come up with some prizes of some sort. But
I've actually got one that'd be really cool to send them. So,
all right, let's look for that on social media.
But it's gonna be a surprise, so you're gonna have to tag us. So,
all right, people, look for the details on social media. We're gonna get some kind of air quote contest, un air quote, coming up in the near future. Thanks for giving us our holiday break, and unfortunately now you are all back in for a few more episodes before we take a Christmas break, if we even do. All right, Josh, you got anybody that you got to say hi to?
No.
All right, I'm gonna send.
I don't think so.
All right, I just want to send some love to my. I got some homies up on the Salmon River in upstate New York, in Pulaski. I don't know if they're going to listen to this, but they know who they are, and I know they're hooking big fish. So, gentlemen, hope you keep warm up there. All right.
Yes.
All right, Josh. Thanks for putting up with my influenza bird flu thing. Special thanks to Jen from Dumb Magazine.
Yes, thank you, Jen, for coming on and chatting with us tonight.
All right, and again, thanks to our sponsors, Pig Farm Inc. and Woodard Rod Company.
Yes.
Until next time.
Check them both out. Yeah. Good Christmas gifts.
Cool. All right, dude.
All right. I'm out. Later, buddy.